Talking about topic of biblical love. This whole month is going to be talking about love, and as you can hear from the song that we sang just now, many, many love song, many Christian love song, hymns, love song. But what is actually this love? We're going to delve into it in this whole month. We're going to talk about this topic. So I thought I would just start off by talking about biblical love, and let's follow along with me. Please stand as we read Matthew chapter 5. And verse 43-48, about what Jesus had to say about this concept of love, how it bridges from Old Testament to New. And just now we just had the Lord's Supper, right? Jesus Christ said that His blood is the New Testament, but we cannot forget the Old. He's fulfilling the Old. He did not destroy it. So let's read together. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, let's read in unison today, okay? That means everybody read all the verses together. Okay, if we are there together, let's read together. Let's begin. Ye have heard that it have been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are very grateful to be here today to hear your word, your challenging word, the word of God that helps us to be better people, because in the doing of your word, there is perfection or completeness in the human soul. Help us today as we learn about this difficult concept of love, which we think we may know, but we need to deep dive into the Bible to hear, Lord, what you have to say about this topic on love. Help us to do our very best to be attentive to the reading of God's word, to be attentive to the message today. Help this poor preacher as I bring forth the word, that Lord, your word be magnified among the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, dear everyone and both members and friends, this month of February, we are going to be looking at many aspects on this part of God's love. And today, we're going to talk about this profound and transformational nature of biblical love. But actually, what is love, right? The world outside and our natural man, we understand love as a feeling, okay? And it has its own roots. So I will read from Judges, from the Bible in Judges 16 and verse 17. Judges 16 and verse 15 onwards, about worldly love. This is the kind of love that we see outside, okay? So what does the Bible have to say about that? For example, this is the example of Samson and Delilah. Okay, so in Judges 16 verse 17, and she said unto him, How can thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Have thou mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth? And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There have not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So this is the worldly love. The love between Samson and Delilah. Samson liked the beautiful woman that he saw. He forced his mother and father, get me that woman to marry. The father and mother did so, okay, because Samson was a strong man. They didn't want to go against their son. But when they had their union, it was a disastrous union from the beginning. Okay, and she was working with the enemy of God, the Philistine, to try to destroy the man of God. And he, through her persistence kind of love, you say, do you not love me? Why don't you tell me everything, right? That kind of naggy thing, right? Then after that, it was his downfall. And that is the love of today, a selfish kind of love. Love will benefit me. Don't you love me? Because they want to benefit me. So don't you love me? Because of that. Such is the selfish nature of the world's love. But today, we will look more at the selfless part. Okay, what does God say is truly love? And we are all familiar, maybe I just draw some parallel. When we think about a selfless love, an easy one to think about is mother's love. A mother's love to her children. There are many occurrences of the selflessness shown by mothers when it comes to the safety of their children. Okay, if their children's safety is at stake, the mother will become a bear, right, and protect her children. For example, when a mother jumps into the water to save her children who are, like, you know, splashing around, right, the children fell in the water, she jumped in, but she herself cannot swim. Then she jumped in. It's very, not unheard of, actually quite common. I was searching for this online, and there's articles about it almost everywhere. Okay, recently in 2022 in India, there was a case where such thing happened. And the Bible mentions that actually, why is this so? So let's turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. In 1 John, the books of 1 John, 2 John actually talk a lot about God's love. So 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may be may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So sometimes if you feel that you are fearful, develop your love. If you are a fearful person, you are scared of certain things. Certain things make you frightened. Of spider, example. Develop your love. Okay, how does this work practically? Okay, I heard this before, said before. Especially for young ladies or just ladies in general. If you don't feel safe on the street and there's a man approaching you, you know, of course there's fear, right? What is this guy going to do? What's his intention? The switch in your brain to do is just imagine these three words, or just keep these three words with you at all times. Okay, what are the three words? It's not I love you. Wrong words. The correct word is how dare you. How dare you? If you have that idea that, you know, somebody approaching you and is threatening you, how dare you? You know, so then the fear is gone, then you develop the courage. And that comes from the love. Of course, you're protecting yourself. And it's the same thing, if somebody harm my children, how dare they harm my children? Well, suddenly I will come up. That is the fear being cast out. That is an example of fear being cast out. So perfect love casts out fear. And perfect love is not always that lovey-dovey thing that we talk about. When Jesus in the temple, when he was there, he loved God. Obviously, he's the Son of God. And he saw the temple being turned into a place of business, taking advantage of the people there, the people who honestly want to worship God, but the merchant or the businessman there is taking advantage of them. His love for God drove him to take the whip, make a whip out of it and beat them away, right? How dare you get out of this place, how dare you make the house of God into a house of merchandise? So love drives us to action. And some of the action is not lovey-dovey action, it is action to protect, action to care for. So today I would like to talk about this love, right? When we define love, so we have to talk about love. So define love as an expression of goodness and care. Expression and action. Action of goodness and care. I will talk about love being a choice. Yeah, it's okay. AV, you can show. Love, you can show the 3 points. Okay, these are the 3 points I'm talking about today. That in showing that love is an expression of goodness and care, the 3 main points is that, you know, love is a choice. You cannot go away from it. You do not accidentally fall in love. That is a wrong idea. No such thing. No such accident happened. Okay, love is always a choice. Number two, biblical love is not selfish as compared with the world's love. And finally, a warning that I'll talk about, love can run cold. Your choice may have to be renewed. So we'll talk about those things. Okay, in order to fully understand this idea of love, okay, according to the Bible, in studying God's Word, there are some principles that we normally look for when we study God's Word. Okay, for example, contextual analysis, right? So we make sure that we understand the passage we're reading in the context of what's going on. We do not take things out of context, okay? Number two, sometimes we look at Scripture, interpreting Scripture. That's how we understand things. The Bible explains itself. When I'm reading with, now I'm going through the book of the Gospel of Mark with my children, Jesus gives a... For example, he will give a saying, or he will give an analogy or illustration. And then after that, the people all blur, don't know what's going on. When they go away, the disciple asks, hey, Jesus, what is that about? Then he will explain to them, okay? He will explain to them what's going on. So Bible always explains itself. Sometimes we have to understand where's the literal or where's the figurative language. Is it being like really real, or is it talking about sometimes God, especially you read some of the Old Testament, right? Song of Solomon or the Psalms or the Proverbs. It will give some pictures, some pictures in your mind. So those are not literal things that is happening, but we understand it as such because we understand the scripture. And another thing that we understand is first mention. Okay, so in the Bible, there's this thing, the first time something is mentioned normally is very important. And that's the time where we study. For example, the whole book of Genesis, right, lays the whole foundation of why the world is the way it is today. We're also learning in our Sunday Bible Hour about dispensationalism. It means when God gives, how does God deal with human being at different time of the history? Okay, God deals with us differently, and what's the same part, what's the different part? So likewise, when we do this first mention, it's very interesting when I do my word search. So now I like to do an example, right? So audience participation, sermon participation. Please take your phone, open up the Bible app. So that's a great tool for us today. We have Bible app. I think most of us have. Okay, you can do it now. Open up your Bible app. And I want you to do a search. So in your Bible app, you know there's a search, right? You just search one word. Search for the word love, L-O-V-E, and enter it there. Okay, include the old, from Old Testament to New Testament, but mainly Old Testament. I want to use this example of the Old Testament. Let's look at the first mention of the word love in the Bible. Okay, can you tell me the reference? Is it Genesis? Which chapter? Chapter what? Chapter? Chapter 4. The word love. 27 and verse 4. Thank you. Yeah, I was looking for this answer. The word love appears first in Genesis 27 verse 4. Let's read together. Okay, you click on it and then you can read. Right? 1, 2, 3. And make me savory meat such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Biblical proof that we love barbecue. That's the reason why Baptists love barbecue. First mention of love in the Old Testament is talking about how Jacob loved meat that was made by his son. Okay, this is a joke, okay? So sometimes principles are there for us to help us to study about God's word, but not always that the word is the one that we're looking for. But what about the concept of love, the idea of love, how God demonstrates his love? How do we know that? Okay, so we understand that if you search for love in the New Testament, what's the first mention of love in the New Testament? The first hit in your Bible, in your app. Is it Matthew? Is it Matthew chapter 5? Is it Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43? The one that we just read. So the first mention in the New Testament when God or Jesus mentioned about love is about when he's explaining. In Old Testament time, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus says, right now, I'm adding on. He's not destroying. Not just love your neighbor. You also have to love your enemy. Higher level of love. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you. Do you realize that for Christianity, in the Christian of the Bible, those who depend on the Bible as God's word, the principle that is very different from other religions in the world is this concept of God's love. And this part in particular, that when you are being persecuted, you do not fight back. Every religion in the world take up the sword, take up arms, take up fighting to protect their religion. Whether is it the Buddhism, if you study Buddhism, you understand the history of Buddhism, it was a war fighting. Okay, they conquered. And Hinduism also likewise, even to today, very militant, fighting against Muslim and all that. Islam also very militant. They so-called evangelize through the sword. Okay, either join me or die. You know, the kind of idea. Christianity, very different. Christianity, what did Jesus say? When the person hit your face, slap your face, what to do? Slap back? Christianity, not talking about Old Testament Judaism. Old Testament Judaism, eye for an eye. You poke my eye, I poke your eye. Tooth for a tooth. You knock out my tooth, I knock out your tooth. Okay, very simple. Equality. But what does Jesus demand on us as Christian? When somebody slap your face, you turn the other side, slap here, please. Yeah. When somebody do bad to you, you do good to them. Very, very different in its nature, in its character. And Jesus says, why do we do this? It's not because I'm giving you something new that is very impossible to do. You're doing this because this is God's true nature, true character. As you do this, be ye therefore perfect, complete, whole, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So it's to become more and more like Jesus, more and more like God. Very difficult for us to conceptualize being more and more like God. That's why Jesus says we have to be more and more like him, because he's the example. Love is an action word. And we need to see where God has demonstrated his love towards us and his actions, right? So our journey begins with the understanding that love is a deliberate choice. So my first point, love is a choice. So of course, go back to Genesis. Okay, so Genesis, we see that God chose to love Adam and Eve by number one. Okay, so how do we know? God never mentioned, I love you. He didn't say the words, I love you. That's why you cannot find it. What did we have to see the action? What did God do when he created the Garden of Eden? Can you imagine paradise where every fruit is available to eat freely? Or you can eat buffet, provided by God, anything you want, as much as you want, and give you a fulfilling job to do. You shall be my first biologist. You shall name all the animals. Wow, tough job. Can you imagine? Meow, meow. What should I call it? I shall call it a meow. Okay, if it's my job, cat will not even have the name cat. It will be just called a meow. Very low level, okay? So Adam and Eve have a high level job. And if you understand scientists today, you see how clever they are? They break out, right? Family, order, suborder, species, all this kind of thing. It's a big job, you know, to be a biologist. God give Adam and Eve to be scientists first. Okay, go and study what I have made. Then after that, he also give them a fulfilling relationship with their creator God. Whenever they have problem, I don't know how to name this animal. Orangutan, I don't know what's this thing. How to name. Then they will meet with God. God, I have problem with this one. How? Then, you know, I'm just imagining. But if you have a wonderful relationship, if you have a very straightforward relationship with God, just ask. You don't understand. Just like a father and a child. If the child don't understand, he should be able to go to the father and say, hey, I don't know how to do. Can you help? Right? That should be the way. So God is like that. And then also they could share their dream and aspiration. Maybe if they found the job too easy, or maybe I think I want to do more things, I think they can definitely talk to God about it, and God can work with them. It's a wonderful, that's why paradise is wonderful. Not just endless buffet, not just wonderful job that is very fulfilling, not just a relationship with God, but all these things together. Okay, that makes it, it's still here, yeah. Still Genesis 3, verse 6, right? So they shared that thing with God. And we witnessed the moment that human free will. So then we talk about, that's the wonderful part. Then the not so good part is the fall, right? The evil part. When Satan came and says, through the serpent, this year, the year of the snake, right? So through the serpent, he asked Eve, he say, you know, if you eat this fruit, that the only one and only fruit that God said don't touch. Because just like everything, who is in quality assurance, quality QC, QA, anybody? Yeah, I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure anybody inside. But if you can understand the concept, you cannot say that the thing is good unless you test it. Okay? That's why we have standards. If you say my thing very good, you say any certificate, no certificate, then I don't believe. Right? That's a modern day. So in the day also, likewise, God say everything is good. Man, I created very good. You say very good, but it's a test. The test is don't eat this fruit. That's all. Okay, if you pass the test by don't eat the fruit, it's an easy test to pass. If I say you do your Chinese test, how you do your Chinese test? Don't do the test, you pass. Wah, don't do. Don't touch the Chinese test. Don't even go near it, right? If that is the test, I will surely pass. I will not be even tempted to go near to the test. But Satan tempted Eve by saying that if you will eat, you know, God has got something wrong, you know. He don't want you to have the best. You only know the good, but if you eat the fruit, you can know something called evil. Ooh. Is it good to know evil? All the while, they know God's good, you know, everything good, free buffet. Can you imagine? You have free buffet, but you know, you could have a limit, you know, a timer. Only can eat 1 hour. Ooh. Is it very good to have a limit? No, right? Everybody want an unlimited buffet, right? So Satan is trying to sell them a rubbish deal. But Eve took the bait. She looked at it. It was good. Okay, fine. She took the fruit. And Adam made a choice. Adam could have said, firstly, he could have protected. Okay, how dare you come and talk to my wife about eating, about impinging God's good nature. He could have said all these things. But he chose another choice. He chose to love his wife instead of loving God. That's his choice. And the consequence come from that choice. Okay, so it's a choice. God chose to love us. Adam chose to move away from God by not leading his family in the right way. And then, even after this thing happened, right, God still continued to love. So, demonstration. What was the punishment for eating the fruit, actually? The day that thou shalt eat the fruit, thou shalt surely die. But the day they eat the fruit, did they die physically? God did not slay them. This is an action of love. I don't kill you straight away. But there was a consequence. There was a spiritual death. A spiritual death means that no longer can they freely access God. in the Garden of Eden. They were driven out of the Garden of Eden, and the angel protected the tree of life. They would never, they would not have eternal life. They would have a lifespan. And Adam lived 900, I think 900 years, if I'm not wrong. Very long, I can't remember exactly. He lived very long, but they died eventually. Likewise, all the son and daughter along the way, and even to us today, what's our lifespan? Reduced to maybe 80, 90 years now. And that's because we have invented medicine. If without medicine, just like before World War II, before penicillin and before antibiotics, right? What was the average lifespan of working class people? Maybe 40, 50 years old only. Right? So it has gone down from hundreds of years down to 50 years old. We have pulled it up a bit because of medicine. But choosing this thing, choose whatever you choose in life, whichever love you choose. Love is a choice, right? Whatever you choose, right, it will have consequences. So God still continued to be showing his love because he did not slay us and start over, okay, fail, okay, start over, delete, and then start new project. Never. He continued to demonstrate his love towards us. Okay, and then later on, a lot of things happened. I'm summarizing, but in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6, we see God's love and mercy, right? When he gave the law. What is the purpose of giving the law? Exodus chapter 20 is when God revealed his law, right? Commandments. How many commandments are there? We commonly understand there to be 10 commandments, okay? Roughly, okay? It's there. But there's many more, okay? In the Old Testament, you read from Leviticus, Numbers, all these, Deuteronomy, especially Leviticus, we see that actually got a lot of laws. But let's just look at this one now. Where does God show his love? Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6, I'll read it. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, talking about other gods. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. In the Old Testament time, especially in Exodus, we see God ties. The choice to love God is tied to obeying his commandments. It is together, cannot be separated. If you want to demonstrate love, love is easy to say, I love you, okay? Just a word. How do you show it? You must follow God's command. If you don't follow God's command, you don't love God. The equal don't love God. So that's why the Jewish people, when Jesus came and started talking to them, they were like, hey, what about, how come your disciple never wash hand and eat? This is unlawful. Actually, Jesus corrected them. It is not unlawful to don't wash hand and eat. It is a practice, human practice, that they add on. In terms of becoming more strict is more holy, right? So they add on, So you never wash hand, you cannot eat. You come out from the market, never wash hand, cannot do anything. That's their own rules. It is not. They're confusing the law, what God gave, commandments, with man-made ones. Which is why he scolded them. Scolded the Pharisees for that. Because it become that so restrictive, right? How can you see the love of God when you have so many rules inside there? So he still continued to give the love, but it was starting to change, right? It's dependent on his commands. But choosing to love means make a conscious decision to act in the best interest of others, even when it's very difficult. And it's a commitment that goes beyond our emotion. So understanding biblical love first is a choice. Second, the feelings will come. Because you choose the feeling, come and interact, and it's a spiral, a positive spiral, you will benefit from it. Likewise, you can look at many different things. Do you think that the baby, right, when you have a baby, right, is a crying thing, is very unlovable one, except the fact that his face is very cute. Other than that, the baby cry and make noise and poop and pee everywhere. Very hard to love. You must, I must choose to clean this baby. I must do it. And sometimes, it's a fact, moms get depressed. Okay, postpartum depression is very common. Because the emotion, the everything going up and down everywhere, then you have to continue to choose to love this unlovable crying ball of flesh in order for it to grow. And of course, as you pour your love into this creature, right, as they grow bigger, they will respond. Then after that, it becomes a bit easier, right? But before that, it's quite tough. So love is beyond just emotions. Emotion come and go. But when we choose to love, we choose to align ourselves with God's plan for our life and reflecting God's will. Because God says we must love, imperative, not choice, must. Okay, must do it and reflect his goodness and care in our actions. So now I'll talk about point number two, about selfishness. And this one, you can see the font size become very small, right? Because it's talking about 1 Corinthians. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is a very famous chapter when Paul was writing to the Corinthian church and talking about love. Because In this church, remember 1 Corinthians as a quick overview, right? It is not a positive letter. It is a letter of warning. You know, letter of warning is telling the church member, hey, got a lot of problems. This is how you sort it out. Okay? I heard so many problems at your church. Okay, come on, write a long list of things. And he's describing to them about love. So I want to read it before the rest of the points in my bullets are summary. But let's read together. We read the whole chapter together in responsiveness. So I'll read the first verse. You read the second verse. And then we read together on verse number 13. Okay, not very long. Okay, if you are ready, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, first verse says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Verse 7, bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Together, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So the translators chose, the word is love, chose to use the word charity to explain the selflessness part of it. Because love by itself can mean many things. So they are very specific. So we look at the pointers here. What is the character of charity or selfless love? It is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast. So, okay, we'll go through the whole list and then we will compare and contrast. Are very simple. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, not easily angered or provoked. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves, perseveres. And love, true love seeks the welfare of others. That's the summary of it. So in this whole chapter, we understand, okay, true love is not selfish. If you have somebody, so we work on ourselves, let's introspection time, think of ourselves. Are we impatient with people? Are we unkind? Do we envy others? Are we boastful about ourselves? Are we proud? Do we dishonor others? Are we self-seeking? That means looking out for our own profit. Are we easily angered? Do we keep record of wrongs? Write down, okay, Mr. Alex. Okay, today, write down. What thing? Just keep it one side first. No, huh? Do you delight in evil but upset when the truth comes out? Somebody tell you the truth, very angry. Do you not protect? Do you not trust? Do you not hope? Are you not a perseverant person? Someone who doesn't persevere through tough times? Okay, if you have all these things, then you need God's love. Only God's love is the answer to all the things that all the deficiency in our character can be helped when we have God's love. And how to have this one? Very simple, okay? Number one, have a relationship with God. You must admit that, okay, I believe many, I see all the faces, I'm very familiar, most of you. And I've heard most of your testimonies about how God has come into your life. You are impacted by God's word. You make a decision, you make a choice to turn to God. Ask God for help. Today we have the Lord's Supper, right? God's blood was shed for us. So I believe that all I need to do, call upon the Savior in my mouth, say, Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. I do not have an answer to these questions that you put here today. But Lord, I want to be right with you. So that kind of, it's not in exactly these words, but roughly like that. Okay, very simple. God make it a very simple thing that anyone can turn to Christ and be saved. Just turn to Him, say that, "I need you, Lord," and He will save you. There's no magical moment, no dove above your head, but you will know in your heart when you settle this issue with God. And when you have that, the Spirit of God, God's Holy Ghost, will come with you and guide you in your life to be patient, to be kind, to not envy of others, to not be boastful, to not be proud, to not dishonor others, to not be self-seeking, to not be easily angered. So who got anger issue? Turn to God. God's love can cure your anger issue, give you more patience. Okay, you will start to forget about all the wrongs because it says the love covers a multitude of sin, multitude of iniquity, okay? So we don't kind of take note of everybody what have done wrong to us. You will not delight evil, but you rejoice in the truth. You will learn to protect those that you love. Always tell the truth, always be hopeful. So this is the nature of love. And many, many times it was mentioned there in charity, right? Through these verses, we learn that love is not about what we can gain out of it. The earthly, the worldly love that's outside is talking about what can I gain out of this relationship with you. That's why I love you, man. I want to take something from you. But not so God's love. God is about what we can give. It is a selfless act, putting others' needs above our own. And true love seeks the welfare of others, embodies the goodness and love. The more you can love, the closer you get to becoming like God. So that is the wonderful thing about it. Okay, now the warning part. So that's the wonderful things. Now I come to the last part, my third point, that love can run cold. So from Genesis at the front, seeing about God's love, now we turn to Revelation at the back of the Bible. And we hear, I think Pastor Mark also said the same words recently. It is actually Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's turn there in our Bibles. I'll read it out. You don't have to read with me. It's just one verse. So unto the angel church of Ephesus. So the angel in Revelation talk about the pastor. So Jesus was writing letters, or this John the Divine, or John was writing the Revelation. And the words that Jesus gave to John, John was supposed to send to the churches, and of course be read in the churches by the angel of the church. Angel means messenger. Who's the messenger of the church? The pastor. So the one, the preacher has to, he was talking to the preacher. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So talking about Jesus himself. Jesus says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. Good news. Jesus gave praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. Repel the evil one, do the right thing, everything. But there's something there at the back. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Your performance appraiser, right? Boss say everything good, right? But you have left your first love. Because thou hast left thy first love. So he doesn't elaborate further. Apparently the church know what Jesus is talking about. Leaving the first love. And what is the first love? The first choice as a church. How to exist as a church? Tell people about Jesus. Right? Let people know about Jesus, the gospel. Spread the gospel. That's the commandment that God gave. If you love me, keep my commandments. Likewise, Old Testament, likewise with Jesus. Jesus has new commandments, by the way. So it's not new, but add on. Like I mentioned earlier, not just love your neighbor and hate thy enemy. Love your neighbor, love thy enemy. Wow. Okay, so we have to follow those kind of new law that God has given and written into our hearts, not written in any book anywhere except for the Bible. And then remember, therefore, for whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So, obviously, this church started off very well, taught very well, good doctrine, fighting against apostasy and things like that, all good. But forgot to tell people about Jesus. Go back. So Jesus said, go back to it. Do not forsake your first love. Do not go back to it. Because, how to say, even in Old Testament time, many of the prophets actually talk about, describe Israel as an unfaithful wife to God. Israel. So this is now figurative language. So talking about Israel is obviously not just one person, it's a group of people. But and God as a husband, faithful husband, going back to the unfaithful wife and redeeming her, paying her, getting her out of debt. Maybe she was prostituting herself, bringing her back into the relationship again. That is the picture of Old Testament time where Israel was going away from God, how God win them back. That's how the picture is. And likewise, for us, okay, if we are husband and wife, likewise, how do we keep our relationship together so that these things don't happen? Do not forsake your first love. Never ever forsake your first love. Okay, and then let's see the next point. So you can say that it can run cold. But in Revelation 3, verse 19, God gave another kind of warning. But we understand that every time that Jesus gives a warning, he also gives a way to escape, right? How to don't be punished. Okay, I'm going to punish you if you do this, but this is the way you're going to don't get punished. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent simply means change your mind toward the thing. Change your mind. Do not think that it's okay. Do not think that just leave it be. It will work itself out in the end. But be active. Let's do something about it. So do not forsake your first love. Jesus called us to repentance. Repentance so that we will not be chastened. And let us consider, okay, another reminder. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I think Mr. Darren was hinting at this verse just now, saying that maybe during Chinese New Year period, everybody busy, right? Then after church will shut down. Okay? But during COVID time, we understand it's necessary. But when we can, we should gather together. Because Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So this verse 24 and 25 in Hebrews chapter 10, is an exhortation, encouragement. Let us gather more and more. Let's not gather less and less. Gather more and more to encourage one another, provoking, not to provoke you to be angry, but provoke you to do good works. How do you provoke someone to do good works? So maybe I give my own example. I'm very thankful that in life, God gives us the children to reflect about ourselves. So I think I give this example in my shepherd group. Ender has been quite disciplined recently. Every night, Daddy, here's the Bible. He just throw the Bible at me. That's his way of provoking me unto good works. Because when he throw the Bible to me, I got to do something, right? I cannot say, keep. That's not a correct response. Correct response is take the Bible and do the devotion. Okay? Then recently, he said, Daddy, he showed me a video. This video very funny, right? You know he showed me? The A, the letter A is singing a song. The song about being fat, F-A-T. Then the fat, the A, say he work out, he do things, then become an I, become very fit. He said, Daddy, is it a funny video? I said, I get a message. I get a message. He's provoking me to go and exercise, right? Then after that, yesterday, hey, Daddy, Strava is free, right? Strava is a running app. Free, right? You also want or not? Okay, lah. many provoking, lah. But, he's doing it in the right way. He wants the best. He loves me, right? He wants me to be the best, right? He sees something that's not so right in my life, right? So he wants to correct. I think I appreciate that. If I get angry, I say, hey, can you stop telling me I'm fat? No, I mean, That is a wrong response. The correct response is he loved me. He obviously he's not doing because he's trying to make fun of me. But sometimes he makes fun of me. But that's not the point. The fact is that he's doing action. He's doing action to try to provoke something, a response. And hopefully it is out of love. So don't go around calling people fat, please. That's not the message today. Don't go and do it. If you don't know the person, don't go and suggest things to them. Okay? It's because if you come from a place where there is love, right? I believe that you'll be taken in the right way. Okay, and then there's the commitment that we have. So I'm very thankful that I have these kind of friends around, son that provoke me to do good works. In conclusion, right, the biblical love is defined, right, as mentioned, expression of goodness and care. It is a powerful and transformative force. So if you allow it to take hold in your life, it can be a very... So maybe now you're thinking, I don't know how to do that. You tell me this thing, very high and mighty. What can I do? I think Pastor Mark has been trying to initiate some things in our church as well. So we have a red botak tree at the back, the picture of a tree lah. The picture of a tree, quite empty right now. So maybe as a challenge to us, right, can we fill that tree within a week? Let's fill it up with notes to friends, to people who will be an encouraging note. An encouraging note as an action of something that we intend to express our love in a biblical sense to our brothers and sisters here. So there's something tangible we can do. What about preparing a small gift to someone who you may be aware that is not going through an easy time now, a tough time, or just to tell them that, hey, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you, hope that things can get better in your situation, whatever it is. Yeah, let our actions show that we need to do that because God says that, by these things shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Not that you hold a sword and very skillful. Not that you are very strong in your doctrines. Not that you can endure preaching from Mr. Yubin for so long. No, it's not all these things that impresses other people. Other people can only see the love of God when you show them the love of God. So today, can you make a decision, a commitment? God, I want to show others that that God loved them, right? In certain things, right? Maybe I recently also pop up a lot of my news and all that about adoption. Suddenly pop up, I do not know why. You know, I have 5 children, then I talk about adoption some more. So maybe it's a challenging, I don't know. My children say they don't want another brother or sister. Where are they going to sit down? Okay, never mind. But you know, there are people hurting. There are families hurting. There are families who do not have a caring mother and father in the world, in Singapore. That's a very current thing. I think ministry, Alex just woke up, but ministry also are talking about these kind of things, right? How to encourage people to care, have more love and care. I'm not asking you to adopt a child, okay? I'm saying that what are the small steps that we can do to think about we can benefit others? Yeah. In your circle, circle of friends, is there somebody in your circle? Think right now, as you listen to my words, think right now, is there in my circle of friends someone that I can show some care and concern to so that they may also feel a little bit of the love of God? I'm not asking them straight away, convert, become Christian, but it takes time. We need to show love. If you don't show the love of God, as what here, then everything remain in these 4 walls. It's very sad. Okay, the purpose of hearing the word of God today is so that after that, today, tomorrow, Monday, when you go out to your workplace, to your friend, or whatever thing you do, demonstrate what you heard. Demonstrate the things that you have listened to today so that you can make a difference in other people's life. Okay, I'll just end off with just one last verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. It's a bit obscure. But it impressed upon me. I like short verses. I like, my favorite gospel is the gospel of Mark because it's the shortest one. Not just that it's short, but very impactful. A lot of times showing that when Jesus do something, the people were astonished and amazed. And I love that kind of thing because it really shows that Jesus is very different. He's not just a normal religious leader or somebody. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He do things that make people life better. Okay, he healed the demoniac who was possessed of many thousand devils. You know, he do this kind of thing where people cannot help, Jesus can help. So can we cannot help our friend, but can we introduce them to Jesus who can help them? Right? These are things. So anyway, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, is a guide, it's like a guiding principle. It says in our life, right, we need to honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So in our life, this is how we should demonstrate love. Love the brotherhood. Who is the brotherhood? Okay, look at heaven, right? Okay, you guys are the brotherhood, okay? Brotherhood and sisterhood here, brethren. We are the brethren in this Maranatha Baptist Church. We are the one that love one another, take care of one another, and try to find other people that can also do the same. Because if God has touched your life, benefited you, or blessed you, we have an obligation to bless others as well, okay, through the love of God. So let's do all these things. I'm going to pray right now, and then we're going to have an invitation. I invite Brother John up to sing, and we will sing what we do for invitation. We sing one song, everybody look at the screen and sing, right? We sing one stanza first. After that, if you are led, please come to the front row. I'm not going to point at you or come and talk to you. You just do your business with God. Come and sit down in the front row, pray, tell God what is in your heart, discuss with God. After that, go back to your seat. Okay, so that's how we're going to do our invitation today. I'll pray, and then Brother John, when you're able, you come up. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word and what has been in my heart about this topic on love, biblical love. How, Lord, that love is not, that there is an emotion to it, there is a very strong emotion to it, but we should not be led by that emotion, but rather choose, make a choice, understand what God's love is, make a choice to benefit another person, even though that person is not kind to us, maybe is very rude to us,